Ready? Yeah, so in the understanding of most people who consider themselves Vaishnavas, what they were doing is fine. They do kirtan, they discuss about Krishna. That's it. I remember that many years ago I had this traveling Sankirtan party in West Bengal. And one of the members had been recently initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj. And I was discussing how these bogus so-called Vaishnavas are eating fish and this. And he became upset and said, "Well, what's wrong?" Said, "Our guru," he's identifying with his guru in his village, "our guru, he eats fish. All the Vaishnavas eat fish. Who are you to say they shouldn't eat fish?" So their understanding of what it means to be a Vaishnava is not to the line, according to the line of Rupa Goswami. But they think it's right because that is what they understand to be Vaishnavism, because that's what they've grown up with, that's what everyone else accepts to be Vaishnavism. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to point out that the flow of mercy which Nityananda Prabhu on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought, Abadha Karuna Sindhu, Katya Mohan, he brought the channel of the love of Krishna, the ocean of Nityananda brought that. But the channel, the flow has become blocked up by these, how does it happen? Well, it probably wasn't that someone at some point sat down and thought, okay, let's make some scheme to pervert the Gaurya Sampradaya. It doesn't happen like that. Maya, generally, it doesn't happen like that. Maya has her own way of thinking, in which, in the words of Narottam Das, Ashatere Shatta Karimani, they take that which is not correct or true to be correct and true. And they can't understand. You know, what's wrong? Everything's going on fine. And who is this guy to come in and tell us this is all wrong? What's wrong? We've been doing this all for generations. This is the way it should be. You might think that, well, if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching among others, he was preaching among traditional Vaishnavas. And if he pointed out that, well, actually this is not exactly to the standard you should do without any personal desire, they don't even recognize it. Then they say, no, this is pure. We don't have any personal motive. They can't even recognize it in themselves. Therefore, you have to come to Shastra. You'd think they'd be very pleased. Oh, thank you. We didn't understand. We're not doing it correctly. But instead, they think we are doing it correctly. What's he talking about? Why is he making such a big fuss? We're happy. We're Vaishnavas. We come together. We have festivals. We chant Hare Krishna. We worship the deity in our home. Everything's fine. Eating fish, well, we have a separate kitchen. For the deities, I've seen people, richer people, they keep one kitchen for taco. And one Brahmin, he cooks for the deities and offers. And one for the family. Separate kitchen. This separate kitchen business is very dangerous. Because separate kitchen means you can do whatever you like. And then whatever you like means there's fish and meat and who knows what else. But at least fish. So, you may ask, well, why was he so heavy? Well, it required to be heavy to point out, at least for the sake of, to create a doubt in people's minds. If you just say, well, actually, that's not right. Well, I think it's right. Okay, we'll agree to disagree. But he didn't agree to disagree. That, no, insistent, this, you're not doing it correctly. This is correctly. Why? This is exactly the line of Rupa Goswami. And of course, it wasn't just that the fish-eating part is the gross manifestation, but at all levels, the cross-dressers, the shaki-baki, the bowels, all mixed up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And even those who are in the proper line and doing all the things properly, it might seem, the Goswamis, they would mostly, these Prabhu Santan, they would initiate people, but they didn't bring them up. They didn't give them stipulations. If you want to be initiated, then you have to follow these principles. You have to do this, 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 that, that, that. No, it's just initiation means your father was initiated by my father, your grandfather was initiated by my grandfather, so I initiate you. The spiritual substance of it was lost. It became a religious formality. So he had to be very heavy and strong in pointing out that what you think is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, it's not. What you're doing, even the kirtan, you may think, very nice, very good, you're doing, but it's for your own pleasure. You lost the point that it's for Krishna's pleasure. You're doing it in speeches about Krishna. People like to come and hear because it's spoken in such a way that they like to hear what's spoken. Pastimes of Krishna, they like it spoken in a very pleasing way that people like to hear. But the differentiation of that which is proper from that which is not proper, that's missing. What should be done? Exactly what Krishna wants and not what we want. That's the differentiation isn't given. And even that the kirtan has to be for... kirtan means for Krishna's pleasure, not that we enjoy nice music and someone can sing very nicely. Of course, in tradition, music and singing should be done very nicely for Krishna. But when we take it that, well, if I'm enjoying it, most people wouldn't even think about this. But if there's any motive for personal enjoyment, then these devotion, actual devotion, gets lost. And Bhaktisthan Saraswati was very strict about this. In kirtan, what instruments were used, there's been some discussion about harmonium. Now, well, there's another reason for that, because it's not an Indian instrument. And at that time in India, those who were religious purists, they wouldn't use anything. They wouldn't use any vegetable, non-indigenous vegetables and fruit. They would only use the sugar that's processed in the traditional way, and everything, cloth, khadi, this khadi or handloom maybe also, but not the not from overseas. They want to keep every language. They didn't like even speaking with. They didn't like to mix even the Arabic and Persian words. They'd speak the Sanskritized language. Still, some ideas going on, but Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur in his kirtan, because the spirit was so strong that kirtan means we all come together and we enjoy a musical performance. So he kept it to the basics. Madanga kartals, kol kartal. And sometimes in a festival where they have big kirtan, many people have a big drum also. Kept it very simple. No harmonium in Bengal, also in kirtan, the broader kirtan culture, violins, ekta, all these. Is it ektar? Ektar. So they wouldn't, he didn't allow it. No, none of these things. So, why was that? Just to establish the point, everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. And he was misunderstood also, because another point he emphasized so much was this Nirbandha Krishna. How does that verse begin? Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataham Upayanjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. Which he paraphrased that in Bengali, and that would appear on every edition of the Gauriya magazine. Let me see if I can remember. Krishna Sevai Jaha Hoy Anukul Vishoy Balaya Tage Shei Hoy Bhul. Something like that. That if something can be used in Krishna's service and you reject it as being material, that's a mistake. So he was a highly enigmatic figure. He was preaching against material enjoyment in the name of Vaishnavism, but he would go in a big car, which is only for the Rajas, for very big people in those days, very people who are considered to be great sense enjoyers. And they would sleep on beds. In those days, bed means, in Bengal, bed means just some pieces of wood which are put together. Nothing fancy. But sadhus, they can't sleep on a bed. Actually, his bed was quite fancy. You can see it, Bagh Bazaar, Gauriya Math. But generally, they're just very simple. So he would use all these things for Krishna's service. And there may be others who are superficially much more renounced. And he would say, they're bogus. They have the spirit of enjoyment. And he's there with leather shoes, big coat, big turban, fancy, big festival. Enigmatic. Difficult to understand. How can you understand him? Then you have to hear from him. And he emphasized this so much. Kirtan. His kirtan was mostly speaking, and speaking in a scholarly manner, a philosophical approach with highly scholarly language, which was difficult to understand. Even our own Srila Prabhupada, who was well educated by mundane standards, he said when he first heard his Guru Maharaj speak, couldn't understand what he was saying. It's very complex way of speaking, the use of language, a lot of Sanskrit words, and the concepts also are difficult to the kind of concepts that he introduced. For instance, to say that we should not approach Bhagavan asking him to supply fuel for the blazing fire of our material desires. In other words, we shouldn't approach Bhagavan for any material benefit. But he would say it in that way. Prabhupada put it simply, order supplier. I think he probably took that from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also. We should not ask him to be the order supplier. That we have an order. We need so much fuel for our fire. We need this, give me this, give me that. So that was one of his more simple locutions. But very scholarly, very grave, which was quite different to what was expected of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas were expected to be very emotional. Chant and sing in a voice full of feeling, cry, fall on the ground, roll on the ground, and in a crying voice say, I am the most fallen, give me your mercy. That's what's expected of Vaishnavas. But he took a completely, he had a completely different persona. That's not exactly the right word. Personality. He appeared to be very grave, very not showing outwardly emotion. And this was quite different to the people he called Prakrita Sahajya. Sahajya Sampradaya was already there in Bengal, it seems, by historical analysis, before the Vaishnavas came. It was a Buddhist, seems to have been a Buddhist. Buddhism was prominent in Bengal at one time. So the Sahajya Sampradaya, and then out of that in Buddhism came Sahajayana, the path of the easy path, in which, natural path is a better, Sahajayana is better translated like that. We naturally have all these feelings and emotions, and we don't deny them. You feel sexual tendency, well, just go along with it. Don't deny it. This whole idea of trying to bottle it up, you go along with that, go with the flow of that, and riding on that wave, you can ride to spiritual perfection. That's the idea. It's an idea that's similar in the Tantra. Well, no, Tantra, it's not. It's something. Anyway, these are technical things. So that Buddhist Sahajya sect became wedded. Many of them became Vaishnavas. When Buddhism was on the decline, then they became Vaishnavas. And natural feelings, emotions, and feelings for Krishna, and feelings for Krishna's devotees. I'm in the male body, and you're a female body, Vaishnava, and I have natural feeling for you. And you can see where this all goes to. So that was the Sahajya, Prakrita Sahajya, mundane Sahajya. He grouped all of these into this generic term, Prakrita Sahajya, all of these various deviations. And he everything about him was in contradistinction to the Prakrita Sahajyas. His gravitas compared to the exuberance, often false or dramatized exuberance. That's my personal observation, is a dramatized exuberance. The idea is that, well, in kirtan, or when you're hearing some lila of Krishna, then you become emotional, you faint, you weep, you roll on the ground, and well, that's what you do. That's what it describes in Shastra. So they do it. But it's in the heart, there's nothing there. But it's more like a show. Now, I may become much criticized for saying this. Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur was, how can you say it's not real? It's feeling. Well, just see. You have to see what happens when they stop being in ecstasy. Then what do? They smoke a bidi, or they eat fish, or they just talk in some normal, mundane way. So they would criticize. How are you to criticize? They have bhav. I feel it. It's real. You can't say it's not real. I'm feeling it. You can't say, how can you say they're not great Vaishnavas? So that criticism, therefore, Bhaktisthan Sarasvati brought the point, Shastra. Everything must be understood through Shastra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur once went to, he was asked to give judgment on this Ramakrishna, so-called. And Ramakrishna, he saw a Vaishnava, Bhakti Rautak. So he showed the Vaishnava bhav, ecstasy. Bhakti Rao Thakur came back, and the people, he said, it's bogus. But he didn't just say it's bogus, he explained how it's bogus according to Rupa Goswami. He didn't say that Bhaktistan Sasar Thakur would be more like to say it's just bogus. But Bhakti Rao Thakur then, he analyzed these two kinds of not feeling, which people feel, but it's not proper, it's not exactly to the point. One is pratibhimba, it's a reflection of the real thing. It's not the real thing, it's a reflection. And the other one is chaya, it's a shadow. It's described by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would bring this. He's brought it all to we have to understand this through Shastra. You can't, if you just take your feelings without reference to Shastra as given by us, by our acharyas, then it's a boat without an anchor. And it'll just float here and there according to the current of our own personal desires. So why am I saying all this? Is this just something historical? No, it's happening now also. That's why we have to discuss these things also. It will happen. Unless we're firmly moored in the path of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then it becomes just on the Manoratha, just on the chariot of our own mind, which goes according to our senses. And it may be very subtle also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he analyzed that sense gratification. It's not just something gross. Get money, dhanam, janam, sundari. It can be very subtle also. In the name of altruism, doing good for others. In the name of religion, being very religious. These can all be covers following tradition, serving the family. And these can all be covers for pursuing personal sense gratification. A personal motive is there. So he analyzed all of this. And he abhorred kapattata, which means cheating. That you show yourself to be very spiritual, very pure, very devoted, but it's not. It's a show. Just like I say, I've seen this in Bengal. It's people think that the show of, I think it's probably, I haven't been traveling widely in Bengal for many years, but I think it's probably changed a lot now due to the influence of ISKCON. Of course, ISKCON's not been without influence from outside also. But that it was just to make a show of bhakti was considered bhakti. They didn't know the difference. But it's the cheating propensity had become institutionalized, or just there was no, the actual spirit of bhakti was lost to the extent that people thought that making a show, and they no doubt they feel something, but it's not pleasing to Krishna. And the whole idea that even if they say, oh, Krishna likes this, but the spirit of personal enjoyment comes first. It's all very subtle and psychological. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted that. And there's no commitment to become purified, to serve Krishna. No commitment to spread Krishna consciousness widely. Bring it to others, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. There's nothing of that. So he demanded that of his followers. You might think that no one would come to him, but people did come to him by his powerful preaching and by his personal example, people came to him. They didn't have to come to him. They could be Vaishnavas without going to him. If they like to be a Vaishnava, then they can go there. So many other, you can go to Jat Gosai. At that time also, this Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham thing was already going on since before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started his preaching. So you could take, but he pointed, that Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham movement, that might seem to be, oh, that's also very good. Many educated young men joined them. They did many good things. But he pointed out, no, you can't just make up a mantra. You can't do that. You have no authority to do that. So he pointed out the faults in that. Kapatata, this cheating. Another thing, pride. He was very much against this. Someone becomes very proud. I'm a great Vaishnava. He pointed this out. That again and again and again, you'll find in his teachings. This, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Amito Vaishnav, E Buddhi Hoile, Amani Na Hobami. If someone thinks, yes, I'm a Vaishnava. Yeah, I'm a Vaishnava. If you think like this, then there's no question of being Amani. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amani Na, Amani Na. One should not desire honor. But if you think, I'm a Vaishnava, how long have you been a Vaishnava? Oh, when I first became a devotee. Oh, you hear? We say devotee, but you shouldn't say, well, I've been a devotee for 20 years now. Really? Ah. Anyway, someone says, I am a devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. If someone says, I'm a Vaishnava, that's the first proof that he's not a Vaishnava. If you think, I'm a devotee. No, you can't say that. It's a kind of pride. Yeah, I'm a devotee. So he saw many of these Prakriti Sahajiyas as being, in the words of Jiva Goswami, achikitsya. It means that you can, that literally means non-treatable. It's a medical term. Chikitsa means medical treatment. You can do any medical treatment you like, but you can't cure them. So they're spiritually so diseased. Some of them, you can't do anything, but at least to point out, this is not as it should be. At the same time, he made facility for those who are willing to take treatment. Gaukishore Das Babaji Maharaj, it's said that he was, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was only his only disciple. Actually, he did have some other disciples. That's apparent from some correspondence and this and that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I'm the only disciple. Because from this we can understand that disciple, in the true sense of the term, means who is Guru Devatatma, who takes the Guru as his worshipable, God, who make as worshipable, and makes Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aika Ana Koriho Mane Asha Koromore Atmasat Bhaktivinoda Thakur praise. So whose life is one with and not different from the Guru. So Gaukishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't a preacher in the normally understood sense of the term. His preaching was to show what it actually means to be a pure devotee, completely renounced, detached from this world. It was apparent what it means to be fully detached from this world. With Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it might not be so apparent, not so obvious. Because he built mutts and had cars and followers and so many things. But Gaukishore Das Babaji, he was also very, very heavy. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a preacher, he gave opportunities for people who caught the gist of his message, that we have to be fully committed to Krishna without any personal desire. Anyabhilasha shunya. To get to the stage of being abhilasha, anya abhilasha shunya. Free from any desire other than Krishna's, acting for Krishna's pleasure. First we have to be anyabhilashita shunya, which means to have the motive to come to that platform. So he founded the Gauriya Math with that idea, that let people come in and come up. So he didn't demand perfection immediately, although he always spoke on the highest level of full commitment. Because if you don't speak like that, how are people ever going to come to that level? Unless we tell, you must come, you must give up all material desires, it's not going to work. They can go on chanting, but if they don't understand that we're supposed to be doing everything wholly and solely for Krishna's pleasure, if that's not drummed into us again and again and again and again, then we're going to be, we'll revert to the way of thinking that we've been carrying with us life after life, that life is meant for my own personal enjoyment. So we have to hear this again and again and again and again, but there's a treatment process. That you come in and we act, and we stay together, and we're all committed to the same project of being pure devotees and giving this idea to others. That's the engagement in Krishna's service to keep us busy, because we're not at the level we can just sit down and chant all day. And even if we are, we have to go out and give that to others. So he was a reformer, but he even rejected that appellation. He said there's at one time he said that people who think the world is in need of reform, they don't, it's not in need of any reform. The way Krishna's made it is fine. That refers to social reformation. He was a religious reformer. If we want to put some sociological label on him, which we feel required to do so we can understand, we could say he's a religious reformer. And that is required, because Ivam parampara praptam imam raja shayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. The pure message which comes in the parampara of pure devotee acharyas, it becomes corrupted by, like I said, it may be people, they're not even aware that they're doing it. But just their devotional service mixes up with some personal desire. Just one example comes to my mind. Many years ago I was in Australia, and there's very beautiful deity worship going on. I believe that was in Melbourne. That's famous since the beginning for very high standard of deity worship. So one devotee told me there that the pujari, he has a personal rule which he made for himself. That, and also the prasad there was, it was worth going to Melbourne just to take. So the Kurma Prabhu, the famous, was there and training others up also. So this pujari had made a rule for himself that whatever bhog offerings that he offers to the Lord, that he personally takes on and worship, he offers to the Lord, he won't take any of that. He won't taste any of it. That was a rule he made for himself. Otherwise, the possibility comes, you're offering it and thinking, well, that looks pretty good. I'll take a little bit after it's offered. And that also looks good. I should take some of that. Oh, and that one, my wife likes that one. I'll get some of that for her. This kind of mentality can come. And we may not even be aware. It's so subtle. And that can come in everything, in kirtan. We're singing nicely for the Lord's pleasure. And we notice others, oh, they're also appreciating my singing. Oh, they like it when I play the harmonium, like that. Oh, let's do it. It's very subtle. And then it becomes ingrained in us. Actually, I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure. The others are also enjoying. They're Vaishnavas. I'm also enjoying. I'm also a Vaishnava. And gradually, the whole thing can become dislocated from what it's meant to be, which is for the pleasure of Krishna. And then from the subtle comes the gross. Especially bringing Krishna consciousness to the Western world, it means going in a very gross culture, and people are used to that kind of, and then they want, well, we don't like this. We like rock and roll, so we have Hare Krishna, bah, 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 bah. Well, it's the holy name, and people like it. But we have to think: does Krishna like it? People like it. Okay, well, maybe there's a case for getting people to chant Hare Krishna with rock and roll music. But we should understand that's not exactly how Krishna likes it. We have to come to the level of what Krishna likes. For bringing people to the level of what Krishna likes, we might bring them on a path which in the beginning it blends with what they like, but that is not the perfection. If we get stuck on what we like instead of what Krishna likes, then we get stuck. And there's no end to it, how degraded this can become, even in India itself. We were saying the culture's more subtle here. But then, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya and in the Vallabha Sampradaya, that was also there, that enjoying, the guru will enjoy the young girls. Because the guru's representing Krishna, and if he enjoys, then Krishna's satisfied. How they could get from the Rupa Goswami's teachings to that, well, how is it possible? Maya? What can we say? Illusion works in such a way. But there was this case, the Maharaj libel case in Bombay in 19th century sometime, in which the one Vallabha Sampradaya guru made a court case against one newspaper owner and editor who was writing articles against him because this guru, he would use the wives and daughters of his disciples. And the Maharaj made the case against the newspaper man that why is he making this libel against me, this slander, this is our religious right. We're benefiting them. He lost the case. He was judged by the British. But many Indian people thought, no, he's right. It's religion. It's our culture. It's our tradition. They don't understand what is our... They're judging it by their Western ideas. That's what they thought, many people. But it's not a question of Western or Eastern. It's a question, what does Krishna like? So this reformation is required, especially in Kali Yuga, because things degrade quickly. Kaling Sattva Harang Pung Sam. In Kali Yuga, all the Kali, the personality of Kali, the very atmosphere of Kali, destroys all good qualities. And then Asatyare Satya Karimani. We take what is wrong to be right and right to be wrong. So that even in the name of Vaishnavism, the formalities go on. There may be temples and kirtans and festivals and initiations. But it's superficial. Because the spirit of fully acting for Krishna's pleasure in the manner that he wants, that's been lost. Even if we're talking about it, that I'm doing this, I writing this book offered for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. But even if the form and substance, the form may be just perfect, but the spirit of service, of fully doing everything only for the pleasure of Krishna, if that is not there, then everything is superficial and it doesn't bring us to Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to point this out. It's not easy, because people become attached to their anarthas, to the that which is not in their own self-interest. And they don't like to, it's very difficult to be told that what we are doing is not right, when we're convinced it is. I'm very good, I'm a very good devotee, I'm very pious, and I'm a very good devotee. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out all the faults. Someone is singing very nicely. And there was one assembly, he described this before he started the Gauri Math. He was at some Hari Sabha meeting of devotees. Someone was singing very nicely. Everyone appreciated. He criticized. And people were shocked. Why? What is this singing? He's singing, someone's singing in a nice voice. Oh, Krishna, come to me. What is this, you come to me? He's not your gardener, he has to come, you call him. You're not his boss that you come. And people are shocked. How can he speak like this? All the Vaishnavas are here. They've all got tilak, neck beads, they're all initiated, they're all appreciating this nice singing. And he, what does he know? He was Calcutta, went to the English schools. What does he know about Vaishnavas? So he was on his own practically in the beginning. It's not easy. He was just standing against everything. At one point he retired early. After going to the Kashim Bazaar, Sammelani, the Maharaj Nandi, Bahadur Nandi, he called Siddhanta Saraswati. You come, there's a meeting of Vaishnavas. But they wouldn't let him speak. He was called, and if he's called, what's he going to do there? The others are speaking and singing, and but they wouldn't let him speak. Maharaj Nandi sent prasad every day, so many items. He'd take one tulsi leaf, that's all. Now, why aren't you taking? Because it's not offered in a spirit of proper service to the Lord. Therefore, it's not prasad. The Lord doesn't accept. He didn't eat for 3 days. Finally, they gave him 5 minutes to talk. You can speak for 5 minutes. That's all. And the topic, you have to speak about the Puramar temple in Navadvip, the temple of Durga in Navadvip. That was the subject given to him. What? But anyway, he spoke for about 2 minutes and they stopped him. Because they knew that what he was going to say would not be to their taste. Then he became apparently discouraged. What can I do? I have to speak. They won't let me speak. They're adamantly against. They won't allow it. They don't want to hear the truth. They're so completely against it. So he went back to Mayapur. He had been sent to Mayapur by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to oversee the affairs at the Jogpit. He had a few disciples had gathered around him. Then he appeared to be somewhat despondent. He had started writing a commentary on Upadeshamrita of Rupa Goswami. He stopped. He just went on with his daily activities. Appeared to be somewhat despondent. Then one night in a dream, he had a vision of all the his own guru had passed away, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They just passed away, 1913 and 1914, and this was just 1 or 2 years after that. And then he had a dream of them, all the acharyas, Panchatattva, they all came and said, You go on, you preach, you don't worry, we're with you. Then again he picked up his spirit. It's not easy to fight against the whole world, where everyone's like, you're an offender. How can you criticize? These are all great vaishnavas. Everyone knows they're great vaishnavas. How can you criticize? It's not easy to do so, especially alone. I'm experiencing this in a very small way compared to what he did, that it's very difficult to be in Vaishnava society and try to point out for the benefit of the whole Vaishnava society when something is not proper. It's difficult to do so. It's much easier to just meet with everyone, say, Hari Bol, how are you? Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, everything wonderful. It's not easy, but he stood his whole life fighting against all these wrong things. And he's known for that. Although actually his real purpose was Gopi Dhanna Katha Kirtan. Hridaye Balila Keba Doyata Dashera Sheva Gopi Dhana Katar Kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about him, which he later recorded in his own poem, that someone said within my heart that the kirtan of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the speaking, particularly speaking, not so much singing, speaking topics of concerning the wealth of the gopis. So it's wealth of the gopis is Krishna. Oh. Just one thing I'll just say to finish now. Just recently I was reading some transcribed lectures of Srila Prabhupada, which have recently been released. We all know that the poem that Srila Prabhupada offered, the English poem to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a Vyasa Puja offering, that pleased Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very much, especially the lines, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he especially appreciated this. Prabhupada said that in one lecture, he said that from the very beginning of my life, I was raised in Krishna consciousness to know that Krishna is God, Krishna is a person. But later in my youth, in bad association in the college years, I got some idea of him, somewhat impersonal tendency, he said. But it didn't satisfy my heart. Then when I heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explain that no, the truth is Krishna. Krishna is a person. Krishna is not dead. Then I became very glad. And therefore, I made this impersonal. So he was saying even in his own life that impersonal calamity thou hast removed. So that's a interesting anecdote, snippet. Hare Krishna. Any question? Any question? The answer is probably in here. Three volumes. Actually, I just thought this morning, did I put the term Prabhu Santana? I have to check and see. And
question that why were not devotees ready to accept Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's attempted correction of them? If he pointed out this is the proper way to follow Rupa Goswami and the Abhilashita Shunya, that your manner of acting is not properly to the point, why wouldn't they accept it if they're sincere devotees and they want to follow Rupa Goswami? Well, that's the point. It's lack of sincerity. And that is that's ongoing up to the present time and will always be there in future also. There are those who take the message of Krishna and pretend to, or in their own minds may think they're following, but actually they conflate in their minds their own material motivations with pure devotional service. And it becomes very difficult for people to understand that these are not actual pure devotees, or they're not actually on the proper platform. Therefore, he spoke so strongly to make his point. Another point in this regard is that he would be often accused of making Vaishnava aparad. You're criticizing people who are devotees. But he would say that they're not proper Vaishnavas at all. They're cheating. They're taking the role of a Vaishnava and using that to promote their own material motivation. So it was definitely very shocking, but he did attract to him truth seekers, those who wanted the real thing. He established what is the real thing. That's another interesting point, that while he was getting on the case of others, even within his own group, it was gradually became clear that some of his own followers were not exactly to the point, and he dealt with them in different ways. One of his earliest sannyasis, he became estranged from the mission because Saraswati Thakur, he said, well, you're making so many disciples, but really you're putting yourself in the center, not myself. They're really your disciples. So he didn't accept that. Then there were others who accused of stealing management, but he supported them. Some people accused him that you're criticizing others so strongly, but look at your own people. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, not all his own disciples were like that, but people would point out that there are problem cases. And he would say, well, at least they're in the hospital, they're getting treatment. They're in the Gauriya Math. He made one article for Gauriya called Gauriya Hospital, meaning that this is a spiritual hospital. So yeah, that the mind of the acharya, or the mind of anyone, is difficult to understand. What to speak of the acharya who's Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigehana Bhujai, we by mundane intelligence we can't understand. So those are just a few points. Actually, these points are all in this book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, but we can discuss. It's just in the book, and let it remain in the book, but we should discuss them also. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Stotars of the Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.